Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks presents Final Fights. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who could talk about Captain America Civil War all day. It's DJ Valentine.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. I'm pleased to be here to talk about still my favorite MCU movie of all time.
Wow. And that's why I brought you on, because you love this movie. It's one of the top tier MCU pictures.
Right.
And I think it has one of the most compelling final fights in all of the 24, 25 films. This has got to be in the, I would say, the top five of final fights. I mean, Ant-Man 1 and 2 are 1 and 2. I mean, the train fight in Ant-Man is so anticlimactic that it's beautiful and it's wonderful. So that has to be number one.
Of course, okay.
has to be. And then, I don't know, not Iron Man. None of the, well, maybe Thor Ragnarok at the end on the Rainbow Bridge. That's really good.
It kind of jumps around. This one kind of sticks in the scene. I would put Civil War. It's a slightly ahead of Thor Ragnarok.
You know what I like about this fight in Civil War is there's strategy to it as well. You have Cap trying to systematically break down the suit. You have Bucky breaking the hand so he can't fly too well. It tells an interesting story while telling a story. And I think that's really a good trademark of an X-1 fight. It's not just a CGI smash 'em up, or wait, what do I call it? A CGI slug 'em up. Just two like robots punching each other in the sky. There's a neat narrative going on here. And also,
go for it. I think I love it because I'm a dark bastard and I love tragedy. And of all of the MCU movies, my favorite two movies are tragedies, Infinity War and this. So other than the fact, like you're saying, it does have a lot of strategy to it. You're heartbroken watching it. Like I'm watching John McClane beat up Carl. I'm like, yeah, in this year, the whole time you're like, no, the whole time. You're like, stop. That's what I think makes it way more compelling than any of the other fights. Because you're watching, talking about Thor Ragnarok. You want Thor to win. In this one, you're conflicted. You're conflicted about who you want to win. You're conflicted about if you want the fight to happen. You're conflicted. It's so much stuff going into it.
Absolutely. And I think after watching it again, Captain America's de-escalation techniques are not too good in this scene. I have never had to de-escalate a playboy billionaire genius philanthropist who just learned that his parents were brutally murdered by a super soldier who was working for Hydra and is now being protected by a super soldier who was frozen in ice for a long time, became my friend, and then lied to me.
Oddly specific. But yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that's how I would de-escalate a situation. Even as I was a bouncer for years, and I'd never de-escalate anything. I would just put people in time out. You can't do that. So it's in this scene, Steve legitimately lies to, did you know? Well, I didn't know it was him.
Right.
That's a lie. And then like he goes to Bucky, he's like, do you remember? And Bucky's like, I remember it all. And I'm like, yo.
No, but here's the thing about that. There's two things to those two lines, though. The fact that Iron Man is pissed isn't that not just that Bucky killed his parents, is that that Captain America knew about it, right? And it's not just that Captain America knew about it. It's that this guy who his father probably use as an example to discipline Tony his entire life as, why can't you be more like Steve Rogers? Why can't you be more just? Covered up his murder and then is lying to him in his face is what pissed off Tony. That's what I see in a little glint of, don't bullshit me, Rogers. That scene, right, that little line is where I see it. And the thing about Bucky, which Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show kind of glanced over a little bit, when Tony has Winter Soldier in the headlock, Tony can't see his face, but we can. So when he says, I remember all of them, it's regret. But Tony just hears, I remember all of them. Like he's boasting about it. So that's what makes Tony even more pissed off. That's the tragedy of that fight, is that none of these people want to be in this situation, but they are. And I don't think there's a Marvel movie yet. Infinity War is the closest to actually do those setups and payoffs as good as Civil War. I've yet to find one as good as that. And I love a lot of the Marvel movies, and they have really great moments. But this one, I remember, was I, I took my sister to see the first Avengers movie, who she is not, as I've talked to you off mic before, Mark, about my sister not having the strongest attention span. But she loved the first Avengers, where she whispered to me during the climactic battle, "This is so cool." She whispered that to me. So I was like, okay, this is great. And this is the second time she's seen all the other ones where she learned, she grabbed my arm while it was going on, not of excitement, like, no. That's why I thought this whole fight worked so beautifully.
Absolutely. And I like the way that also, I like how they ground it as well, because right. You have Iron Man just go flying in the sky. You have Ultron in the sky. You have Avengers all of New York. Iron Man 3 at like a dock where they're all blowing crap up. This right. is, they did a really good job of, well, first and foremost, you can't have Tony flying away from 80 feet in the air just dropping missiles on him. So right. I liked how they put it in the silo. They put it in this bunker, and they made it very claustrophobic. And I was listening to the commentary for this, and they said that the Russo brothers did say they want to make this like a psychological thriller. Right. And I get it. But they really wanted to focus on, like, I think they really played strong to, like, working towards advantages, keeping it contained. Like, I don't know why, but Steve Rogers busts out a grappling hook or a rope at one time and ties it around Tony's neck, and they fall down the silo. I don't know if I've seen that before in Captain America movies.
He might have did it in First Avenger. I can't remember, though.
I'm like, is he Batman now?
But I guess, maybe.
They do a good job, though, right, of just keeping it contained and small. And that feels so – I'm not saying it's small because the emotions are big. Right, but they did a really good job of moving it around, telling a narrative, Iron Man's suit, figuring out Steve's battle techniques, and then figuring it. I think a lot of that is, you know, you got Sam Hargrave worked on this. Like, he was the fight coordinator, stunt coordinator. I mean, this dude was in Roadhouse, too. He was Jonathan Schick's stunt double. So this dude has come a long way.
And Extraction. Just directed and kind of co-starred, although he was cameo in Extraction. So, yeah, you could tell in this fight, and I keep bringing up Infinity War, that fight with Thanos on Titan, there was detailed thought about every offensive and defensive measure in the fight. Mm-hmm. Where Cap, he hits the booster rocket on Tony, so now he has eliminated one thing. He's messed up the targeting system, a la Iron Man 1, so he has to eyeball it, where it's making every step of the fight that much more difficult for every person. I remember in the Infinity War fight where they're fighting Thanos and they're doing, Iron Man's kind of doing the same kind of thing where you can just see the thought. Because there's other fight scenes you watch, there's people swinging at each other and there's not mm-hmm. really a lot of thought going into the fight. But this one's like, oh yeah, Tony has to, that's why he can't kill him right here. Oh wait, that's why Bucky's doing this. Oh, his hand, there's so much thought went into that fight. And I think I've told you this before, when I first watched the movie, the geek kid in me who read comic books when I was little loved it because of the airport fight. But as I've matured and become an old, broken-down man, it's the fight at the end that I think is so much meat to, where you can break it down so much just leading into it, the end of it. The fact that Black Panther and Baron Zemo are the only parts that intercut it, which is an even more deep situation that's going on over there. It's just that so much stuff went into that. It makes me think, I would like to talk to the writer. I don't know if McFeely did, is it Marcus and McFeely? What part they wrote first, because some people write scripts out of order. Did they write this first? Did Hargrave talk to them about it? I would love just to have a complete breakdown by the filmmakers of. I know you said to watch the commentary or listen to the commentary. I want like a I want a book on this fight scene. It's so good. I don't think Marvel has topped it. The closest is the Titan Thanos fight for me. Not even Endgame. Even the Endgame fight is essentially what I'm talking about, which is just they're just beating each other up, and it's great. It's fantastic. It's, you know, popcorn moments, but not a lot of intellect. Not a lot of overanalyzation could happen in that fight where you can pick apart, why doesn't Spider-Man do this to Thanos in that scene? And why doesn't Tony use this to Winter Soldier in the Civil War fight? You can pick it apart. Look at what the different facets of the fight are as you watch it, which I love.
Yeah, and it's just, I like storytelling in a fight, and I really don't like the Civil War fight. I think it's like
airport
fight. Yeah, because it's pointless. It's just them kind of bopping on each other. Like, it's not, no one's trying to get killed, no one's trying to do this, and I guess that leads to Rhodey getting injured, which leads to this finale. But I mean, I like the spectacle of it, but I like the storytelling in this. I love... In Infinity War, when Star-Lord loses it, And Thanos gets loose. And a lot of people complained about that. They're like, Peter Quill. Like, he's the villain of this fight. Like, he's the one that messes it up. It's you've never, like, this is the one thing that Doctor Strange came up with. You've never lost a person you love to a large purple person. Like, you are filled with rage, anger. They're goading you. And think about this.
People were like, Tony should have whooped Peter Quill's ass. And I'm like, Tony is Peter Quill. The exact same emotion that Peter Quill went through, Tony is going through at the end of Civil War. He is watching himself go through the same emotion where this person, Peter Quill, just lost a person he loves, and he cannot contain his rage. Tony literally is going through this in Civil War, where he knows that Bucky was brainwashed. He knows that all that information, but he doesn't care because he killed my mom. That is essentially what Peter Quill is doing. So when they get crap on Peter Quill, I'm like, name me a person that wouldn't freak out in this situation. You're not thinking rationally when, oh yeah, by the way, this person, you know, he murdered your girlfriend horribly. Okay, now just hold it together for, you know, don't do anything. I know you have a gun in your hand. Yeah. Put it away. That's why they have a thing called temporary insanity, where you lose track of your emotions. And Tony is the poster boy of that from this movie. So, yeah.
It won't bring him back. I don't care.
Doesn't matter. Rage doesn't work that way. Rage isn't rational.
And I got to say, this scene is home to my favorite MCU moment of all the MCU moments. And that's between Baron Zemo and T'Challa, Black Panther, where you see Baron Zemo. I get so annoyed when people say that Baron Zemo is a nothing villain, because it's a human who does all this to get people where they are, and he succeeds. And he's listening to his wife's voicemails. She has since died, and this is what he has left. He's consumed by hate. And he tells this story to T'Challa, and T'Challa sucks in his claws, prevents the suicide attempt. But just watching a villain listen to his wife's voicemails after the Avengers were, you know, essentially responsible for murdering a lot of Sokovia, he's like, and then they get to go home. I thought that was such a perfect moment, because it's just so human. Like, I can't delete my wife's voicemails off my phone. It's morbid, but I keep them on my phone. Right. They're like years old. I won't get rid of them. So
The thing about Zemo, and I think it's kind of turned since this movie came. When the first movie came out, you were right. Everybody was crying, Zemo, he's no Loki, all of that stuff. But I think, especially with the Falcon and Winter Soldier show coming out, that people have grown to appreciate how good he was, because there is no Infinity War without Zemo. Thanos doesn't win without Zemo breaking up the Avengers. The Avengers are together, Thanos loses. So if Zemo doesn't intervene and break them up, the whole Infinity Saga doesn't happen. It ends. And the way Zemo goes about it, it's the most realistic motivation for a villain ever. He lost his family, you know, and you kind of feel for him. Loki is I love Loki. Don't get me twisted. Loki is more of a self-destructive, egotistical, you know, motivation. Zemo is the motivation of a lot of heroes in movies.
Yeah, exactly. So, revenge.
Revenge.
It's like a Bronson movie.
Think of the people who did it. That motivation you've seen in many. John Wick. Everybody. So Zemo, I think, is fantastic. And the only criticism, it's not even a criticism, nitpick. You got to watch this movie over and over again about how the people criticize him as, how did Zemo know this and did this and this? I think it was all happy accidents that led to that situation, which might be fortunate or, you know, convenient. But I just think that he was trying to get information to break up the Avengers, and he just hit the mother load. This is what you did? Holy crap. Okay. All right. That's even way worse than what I thought it was. And now I can use this is, you know, that's how I look at it. Some people think that he knew the whole time because he's asking about the specific date. But I think it was just a happy accident for Zemo. But Zemo's fantastic. In the future, I think they're going to be using him a lot more because, one, Daniel Brühl is amazing in the role. And I think that character, Zemo, there's a lot more you can mine from him. You can do a lot more stuff with him, as you've seen in the TV show.
I felt bad. I think Anthony Mackie, I loved his work in Synchronic. I'm a big fan of Sebastian Stan. I think when they get like the bronze, he's bonkers in that movie. But watching them on screen with Brühl, I kind of felt bad for him because he's just – I think Brühl's just another level.
Too good.
So you're watching them all together, and you're like, yes, these are good actors. They are Juilliard trained. They are excellent actors, but Brühl is just another level. And, man, and then watching T'Challa, like, T'Challa's dad died. Tony Stark's dad died. And Zemo's dad died. There's a lot of dad death, actually, in this scene. But watching the way that he sees him consumed by hate, them consumed by hate, then not doing that. There's a lot of storytelling in here, and I like that a lot. It's just so dense, and the, my least favorite parts, actually, of this fight are probably everyone's favorite. There's that wide shot where Iron Man is centered, and Cap and Bucky are attacking him from either side.
Who doesn't like that part?
I don't know. It just didn't feel organic to me. It felt very CGI-y. Mm-hmm. I just added an I to CGI.
Yeah, you add some
vowels. Uber CGI, and just... It felt so stylish in a fight that should not have been stylish. Like, this was...
You wanted it brutal. You wanted
yeah, this
Carl
is a nasty...
McClane fight.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, this is a... Like, I'm tying things around your neck. I'm blowing off your arm. I am trying to just murder and hurt. And then you get this stylized shot of them. Like, you're supposed to go, yeah, like, this isn't... I just don't think that's that kind of fight.
See, the only thing I would... push back on that is Tony is the one in the rage fueled attack. Cap and Bucky are essentially just trying to disable him. Mm-hmm. They're not rage filled. I mean, Bucky is probably regret filled, but he's not like consumed by rage. Tony is just swinging, firing, all types of crap because he is the one. They're trying to slow down the bull, essentially. And this bull just happens to be wearing a $5 million suit of advanced armor.
Oh, yeah. With
so
rockets.
Way more than $50 million, whatever. Yeah. So them using tactics, to me, doesn't hurt it as much as if Tony was using tactics. Even his tactics are off the top of his head. You got to remember, this is the fastest thinking man on the planet other than, like, four other people. So when he even lets the suit take over... calculate his moves so I can, you know, blah, 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 which is straight out of the comic book. I forgive it. And the part where Cap is doing the I can do this all day thing where Tony's just
yeah,
like,
that's a fun that, callback.
Right. Tony is so cannot under it's not computing to him why he's defending this man. And it's clear that it's his friend and he's probably the only connection to the past that he has left because we lost Peggy in this movie. So he can see, but your friend is a murderer. he killed not only my parents, he's killed so many other parents. Why are you defending this man? Even Bucky himself says, Steve, I don't think I'm worth this. He says it to him.
Yeah.
And Cap is, of all the times he's been selfish in these films, it's been this in Endgame. That's it. Where he, I think, is doing it for his own motivation of, he's my friend. It's the only, once Bucky's gone, I have nothing left. He's not thinking of the present. He's not thinking of, and Tony's trying to break through to him, so was I, where you have friends in this reality, you know what I'm saying, in this timeline, but Cap is so transfixed on, which anybody would you be frozen in time and then wake up in a completely different timeline. This is the last thing I have left. This is it. Once Bucky's out of there, I am truly alone. And I think that's what he's fighting for. Bucky, what Bucky's fighting for, it is rough. You would think that Bucky would just take it.
Yeah.
Or he would just take the death because mm-hmm. he does feel bad for what he did. That might be one of the things you might push when you're breaking down the motivations of this, though he is a programmed weapon and he's not completely out of brainwashing at this point yet.
Yeah, earlier in the film, he put a gun at Tony Stark's head. Tony Stark just barely, with the hand, blocked
Love
the bullet
shot.
From going into his brain.
Right. So, but he was on the programming then.
Yeah,
Baron Zemo got the programming in him. But at this point, he's not really. So but it could be instinctual. The Wakandans have not completely wiped that out of his mind yet, where it's almost like in Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't know if you've seen the whole series where Zemo tells him to pretend to be Winter Soldier in this bar, and he just tears these guys apart, and Zemo goes, yeah, it looks like that Winter Soldier, still a little Winter Soldier left in him or whatever. I think it's almost an instinctual thing to where self-preservation, even though if he had a choice, he might let Tony kill him because he knows he's done horrible crap, and he's mm-hmm. hated doing it. We were talking about Black Widow off mic, where you're kind of, you don't have the control of, you see yourself doing something you can't. Was it me? Did I enjoy it? Was it the programming? That's all the stuff that he's going through his head, I would think. So yeah, that final fight to me is so much stuff in there to pick apart. I always side with Tony because the whole I don't care that he killed my mom. That is literally like I wrote it
with his non-metal hand. He killed his mom with his bare hand, his non-super hand.
I was arguing with somebody about Marvel, and they were like, oh, Marvel's so, you know, kitty. And I'm like, there's a scene in Captain America Civil War where Winter Soldier beats Howard Stark to death with a metal arm and then slowly chokes out an innocent woman on camera. Yeah. That's pretty non-kitty, if I described it to you. But yeah, and then made Tony watch it. That is, I mean... Who would you know to be like, all right, yeah, to shrug it off and go about their day? Anybody else I can think of would freak out.
And Rhodey was hurt. Like, Rhodey was just hurt. Right. He could be arrested.
He forgave that at that point because they make a truce before they see the video.
When he blasts Falcon, when Falcon's like, oh, hey, man. I
know you love that part. You love that part.
Because... Falcon, come on, man. Like, hey, man. Like, well,
man. That's the moment where you're angry and somebody's like, hey, man, calm down. You're like, man, shut up.
Yeah.
When somebody doesn't take your anger and your loss seriously, it, to me, personally, is the most infuriating thing ever. And even him apologizing is just like, nah, you think this is a little thing. This is my best friend that just fell from the sky and is, God, I don't even know if he's alive. I don't want to hear your apology. You're the reason this is happening.
Womps him. So he's just angry, and he still calls a truce. I think there is just a spot where you want to fight. And, I mean, listen, you're right. I didn't even think about that. Bucky is like, okay, I guess I got to fight this guy now. I killed his parents, and then we've been lying to him, and then this whole thing happened, and now we're fighting each other. But I'm just going to fight him, too. Mm-hmm. It's a man,
self-preservation thing. I think it was a self-preservation.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to stop him from... I don't think they're trying to kill Tony or, like, knock him out or, like hurt him. I think they're trying to disable him. That's all. That's just... Stop. It's the bull in the china shop and just trying to slow him down because every blow from Tony is a death blow. Yeah. She's trying to kill... Like, I thought... He used that the kill shot thing he always uses. He started using in Avengers where that laser, or maybe in Iron Man 2, the laser thing that he cuts off the roof with.
Oh yeah.
I thought he was saving that for Bucky. That's how I thought Bucky was gonna lose his arm, because that's probably like the most lethal blow Tony has, and he used it on the building, the block cap. And I was like, man, he is not playing. This is the first time you see Iron Man be Iron Man. As Iron Man-y as I'm adding eyes to, as Iron Man-y as he possibly can. He uses pretty much every weapon to his disposal in this fight. Other than the fight with Thanos. That's the only other two fights where you see everything in the arsenal at once, which is great.
If Bucky put down his gun, would Iron Man have killed him?
Yes.
He said, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would have. Yeah.
Wow.
He would, and don't get it twisted, he would have regretted it.
Yeah.
Because he's not thinking with a clear head. In a week, he'd have been, man, the guy... Because he knows what happened. He knows Bucky was brainwashed by Hydra to do these killings.
Mm-hmm.
But the rage is taken over. So he would kill Bucky, yes, and then he would have to live with that decision for the rest of his life. He would hate himself for it. But in that moment, he can't. He's not using rational thought at that. That's how I always see that fight.
Walked up to him and said, hey, man, Winter Soldier killed your father. I'm trying to rehabilitate him. Could that have prevented a lot?
I think the lie in the video, the lie is what got him. I think you're right. I think because I think Cap figures this out by Winter Soldier when Armin Zola shows him the video of the Stark family with the X's on their head when he's talking about Winter Soldier. It's like he knows right there Winter Soldier killed them. If he would have talked to Tony then, look, Bucky was under brainwashing, blah, blah, blah. Tony probably would have freaked out, but he wouldn't have freaked out this hard. He wouldn't have he wouldn't have attacked Captain America and went lethal like this. This is all of the emotions at one point in time at once. And the one regret I have of the MCU is that this whole scene to me, this whole altercation, is brushed over in preceding movies. Even near the very end of the movie, which I don't like.
Like, send him the phone. Hey man.
Right.
It's cool.
It's cool because he's in Cap's room.
Yeah.
And he's you can tell he's kind of regretting what happened. I think it was too fast for that. The rage should have been for a while. So in Endgame, where he goes, well, I got over it. I didn't want to be mad anymore. I was like, no. That should have been longer, or we should have seen more of it. I love an Endgame when, in the beginning, where Tony rips off the arc reactor and goes, you said we do it together. You go and take this and you hide. That rage was still there. And then the next time you see him, he's fine. I was like, no. We needed some. They need to have a longer heart-to-heart than that parking lot conversation.
Absolutely.
That's my only regret, because this was and I think it's one of Robert Downey Jr.'s best performances as a character, because it's a shade of Tony Stark you've never seen. Irrational rage. You've never seen that before. Not snarky, not telling any jokes. He's trying to kill somebody. I just wish there was more of it. Again, I'm greedy. I want, this is where a comic book gives you that a movie does not, because you can have a five-page panel conversation between Tony and Cap. But that what always irks me about Endgame is that he's in the parking lot, gives him the shield. That whole conversation, my father made that shield.
Yeah, that was a great line right there.
You know what I'm saying? You're protecting his killer. You're walking away. You're protecting. You broke my heart with the weapon my father made, and you broke the heart of my suit. It's like, there's so much stuff going on there, and he just goes, "Oh, yeah, here's the shield back." I was like, "No. I need more than that. Give me some more."
And hold on to it the whole time.
Right.
And also, the person who takes Cap into his first mission is what? Stark is Stark Senior. He and Peggy get into a plane, they're getting flak shot at them. From every angle, they could die. Like, Cap might be fine, they would die. And then, I remember that plane scene, because Cap is just telling them what to do. Like, they're risking their lives. He's like, you turn around. She's like, just say thank you, you idiot. Right? You know what I mean, though? They're risking their lives to take him to his first mission, and he's like, this is what you need to do. Like, I was like, come on, Cap.
I think Howard idolized him. I think he was... He's the example. He's the guy that your parents, or a person your parents used to, why can't you be more like blank? That's yep. Steve Rogers. So that's probably what Tony Stark had, because as you watch in that same movie, the barf scene, where I could see millions of conversations where Howard was having with Tony, where it was probably like he was disappointed in him because he's not living up to being as good a man as Steve was. And probably Tony was so tired of hearing that. Like, God damn. And then when he figures out, well, he probably just resolved himself in the fact that I'm not as good as Steve. And then he realized, like, oh, wait, this guy is a piece of shit, too?
Yes. Yeah, he's a liar?
He's lying to me in my face. The guy that you're lying about, he idolized you. He would lecture me for years about, man, I remember we're in World War II, and, Steve was a good guy. Why can't you be more? I could just see it. Mm-hmm. The way Slattery performs it, where he's leaving, this is the last time I saw him or whatever. And that's what I think. It's all of that stuff compounded on top of each other. So, yeah, I did want more of that. And the best part I got was that first scene where Tony was, like, screaming at him and he passes out. I was like, that's great. That's good stuff right there. I want more of that. And when they were going to the house in Endgame, that's what I thought we were going to get. But it's more time travel-y. Timey-wimey. And again, I know the movie was long enough, but there was such a important moment of the MCU. This is what this moment in Civil War causes Thanos to win.
Exactly.
So I wanted more of that. I wanted more of the fallout of that. So yeah.
They didn't even want to unite in Infinity War. He's like, well, I got his phone, but like, we're not really talking. It's like, the world is ending.
Right.
The world's ending.
That's how you know how it was so bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they keep them apart, which is great. Again, I love Infinity War because it's still got the residue of Civil War. Tony doesn't call him right away and acts like everything's fine. He gives the banner and he dips out. So, or I guess he drops the phone or whatever. But yeah, in game, it should have been longer. It just should have been more of that. I just wanted more of that. But yeah, anyway.
I love it. Okay, so I want to do something real quick. What are your three favorite moments in this fight?
Number one is, do you even remember them? I remember all of them. Because I think it's so perfectly staged. To, again, a lot of people miss that.
A good movie headlock.
Yes. And Sebastian Stan, God bless him. He's so good in his character where he just, his face, if you just watch his face, that's not boasting. That's, I remember all of it. It tortures me. It tortures me. But Tony doesn't see it. It's so good. Number two has to be Don't Bullshit Me Rogers, because that's when he realizes, yes. That's when he realizes, oh wait, Captain America is a piece of crap. Not a piece of crap, but he's a piece of crap about, this is the guy I've had to deal with my whole, I almost want to punch you in your perfect teeth. Oh, you're not perfect. You're just as flawed as we are. That, I love that. I'm torn between, I can do this all day, and I think it's, but I think number three is, Cap breaks his heart by actually breaking his heart with the shield his father made. He breaks the heart of the suit, breaks Tony's heart, and my father made that shield. And he drops it on the ground. That part is so, fantastic. Great end of a fight, because for a brief second, Tony thought Cap was going to kill him because he's lost all faith. And Tony, a couple of hours before, would have never thought that. Would have never thought Steve Rogers would actually try and kill him. But right now, his faith in Steve has been broken, and to such a degree he thinks Steve is going to murder him right there, and he doesn't.
He covers his face. Covers, and he's like, oh man, right. I'm done.
It's so good.
My head's gonna get cut in half.
Yeah, this Bucky Rogers tandem has killed the entire Stark bloodline. That's what's going through his mind right now.
Oh wow, yeah.
Think about that.
Jeez Louise.
Anyway, yeah.
I guess mine, when he's like, analyzes fighting technique, and then they do it, and then he just catches it, like countermeasures, and then Steve's face, when he catches that, woo-wee! Yeah, oh so man, cool. I love that bit. That's so cool.
I read it in a comic book, and the comic book, I think, is lesser than the movie to me. The comic book's kind of iffy. But I remember that scene in the comic book, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then when I did it in the movie, I was like, oh, crap, that's the, oh, yeah, yeah. Steve is in trouble now.
Yeah, he's like, okay, I'm done. I like when he busts Tony's foot, the rocket there.
Because right.
It's just, I like that storytelling. Right. It's storytelling within a story, like a good story. Mm. And that's when you know it's a good fight. It's not just a CGI smack him up. I dig that. And then I guess I'll leave Baron Zemo out because that's not really part of the fight. I guess I just
the
like
watching the fight. I think essentially.
I guess I just like watching Tony. I like it. I just like him beat up Steve. I just like watching him tear him up. So yeah, I guess that there's a scene where he knocks Steve all the way back, and Steve just has a bloody face and is just laying on the ground.
I like when they again. I was saying earlier that this is the most Iron Man-y Iron Man is until Infinity War. You realize Steve is a badass. No, he's a super soldier. Bucky is a badass. He's a super soldier. But it takes literally all their efforts to stop, not beat, stop Iron Man. That's how powerful Iron Man is. That really showcased if Tony wants to, he could take out a lot of people. That's why he gets the only blow on Thanos that actually hurts him. Think about
that. Yeah, Thanos liked it too. Thanos is like, whoa,
a drop of blood. You know, that was the first time Thanos got really hurt, like, not to say hurt, but it's like, wow, you've hit an Eternal and drawn blood.
that would be on my tombstone.
Yeah. that's when Thanos gains respect for him. He goes, man, yeah, I hope they remember you. Tony Stark's is, again, this is a little comic book divergence, but I remember reading Superior Spider-Man, where Dr. Octopus takes over Spider-Man's body mentally or whatever, and he punches Scorpion in the face, and he punches him with all his strength because he's never been in Spider-Man's body, and knocks Scorpion's jaw off his body.
Whoa.
And then Dr. Octopus then realizes, wait a minute, I fought this kid maybe 50 times. He's been holding back every fight. If he were to actually want to, he could probably have killed me a million times or whatever. That's where I kind of see that, where you're like, you know, if you can make Thanos bleed, you are pretty freaking powerful. So yeah, that was in that fight where it's like, wow, that's Iron Man doing Iron Man-y things. Captain America is barely holding on, and only because Bucky grabbed his arm That's the only reason Cap wins that fight. Grabs his leg, I mean. That's the only reason Cap wins that fight. Because if Cap were... Tony was about to drop him. That was it. He didn't have no shield at that point.
So I hate random leg grabs. Come on.
Random leg grab.
Saves his life. Oh, man. But no, I just want to say thank you, too, for doing this again. Because watching this final fight, I didn't have much of a memory of it. Because I don't want to go in this long, but I worked on this movie and I saw all these sets. So the first time I watched it, I just was like, oh, hey, I know that. I couldn't focus on the fight. I never noticed any of this stuff during the fight before. So I'm glad we got to go and revisit it because I got to focus on the fight.
Mark, I'm super jealous of you because you were on the set of one of my favorite films of all time. I Hate Your Guts.
All that stuff I saw, man. Like, I was all in there.
Mark, again, living my best life. Just walking around. Hey, look, Tony Stark's fighting Iron Man. Meanwhile, I'm watching in the theater crying. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Oh, man, this, like, it was cool. It was, but you know what, though? It's like I was actually able to enjoy the movie this time. And I enjoyed it before, but I got to watch it as, like, a spectator, not as a, oh, hey, I saw that. So
thank you, man.
And now I have, like, a lot more appreciation for this fight, so I dig it. But this is fun. Hey, do you want to – I'll put it all in the post. I'll promote everything you have. But do you want to promote your stuff before we get out of here?
I'm one of the three co-hosts of the Simplistic Reviews podcast. You can check out Simplistic Reviews at simplistic.reviews. We do commentaries. We do a really silly podcast where we make fun of movies in Hollywood and stuff like that. If you like, you know, it's like the Daily Show in terms of news. We do Hollywood news stories, but we make it a little bit fun. So check it out.
No, I love it. And then also Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. You were on Deep Blue Sea.
When are you going to have me back on, you sons of guns? What's going on here? What's up?
Oh, wait. We're doing Con Air next. I think we only have two episodes of Deep Blue Sea 3.
Con Air? That was what I thought you guys were deciding between Con Air and something else. Was it Con Air was always the winner?
Well,
the winner?
So we wanted to do something else, and we still have like it called, but there was supposed to be an edition that came out that was like a director's cut, but they didn't do it.
So
we're kind of holding off. But yeah, we're thinking Con Air.
Okay.
So I don't know if you remember this, but I came up with a Con Air seating chart. I actually figured it out.
Like, yeah, I remember.
And I recruited some of the actors to help me with it. So we're gonna try to get them in and like have some fun and talk Con Air and all that stuff. But
Good luck with Dave Chappelle. I don't know if you're gonna get
him in. Oh yeah, he's already booked. We already recorded his episode. Awesome. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. It was awesome. It's like 3 hours long. Man, I want to hear him talk about that movie because that's a nothing role right there.
Oh, man. He's probably going to be very dismissive of it.
Yeah.
I was on the set for about
I want to get Cusack, too. Like, I hate that movie. It was a paycheck. And then just talk. I just want to talk to him about Krav Maga for an hour.
I would just want to talk about Nicolas Cage's wig for about, I don't know, 35 minutes.
Entire bunny episode. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for joining me, DJ.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for DJ Valentine, this is Final Bites. We'll see you next week. All right. Thank you, man.
No problem. Anytime.
Sorry, I chatted at you for like four.